Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday celebration service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on November 6, 2016, and is entitled, Breaking Up Camp and Moving On.
Well, I wanted to encourage you now, as we get our Bibles in hand, would you, and take a look at the back of your bulletin, we are at that point in our journey on our sermon series, overseen 1st and 2nd Peter, we are coming to that conclusion this very day. This is our final message. The sermon series is entitled Building a Forever Faith. Building a Forever Faith, looking through 1st and 2nd Peter. Remember when we were together, we were looking at that aspect. We started off about that contractor who came to his retirement years. And when he was all said and done, he was ready and set the date of his retirement, but the owner of the big conglomerate company said, Dear Gus, please build me one last home before you retire. He was upset. He says, I planned on my retirement at this date, but because I'm faithful, I'll go ahead and do it. He built the home, but because his heart wasn't in it, what happened? He ended up putting shoddy material, ineffective and poor quality workmanship into that home. And when it was all said and done, he told the owner of the company, the building is done, now I can retire. And basically the owner said to Gus, Gus, congratulations, here's the key to your new home. You were building your home. The contractor said, if I knew I was building my own home, I would have done things what? Differently. In many ways, this is what we are doing when we're looking at 1st and 2nd Peter. We're building a forever faith. We're so glad that you've journeyed with us over this season because we believe faith comes by hearing the Word of God. But man, did the Apostle Peter have some things to say to us. And in particular, he's talking about what will be the end of all things. This is the end of his writings. This is his last writing. Peter is in his 70s. He will not be living for very long. Matter of fact, he actually says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, he says, the Lord has shown me I soon must be putting off my tent. So he recognizes he's going to be dying soon. So when we look at this, what is the end of all things? And since he's kind of moving on, we've entitled today's message, Breaking Up Camp and Moving On. Breaking Up Camp. We're going to look at today how it is that what you and I know as this planet, what is the end of everything? What does that look like? Today is that message. I have people say, well, just tell me, when does everything get new and what does it look like when everything is just done with? This is where Peter's going to be addressing it. And though it sounds like a tough message, and it can be, but for you and for me who are believers in Jesus, it's one of those that say, hey, remember, we are just moving on. We're pilgrims. We're passing through. We're breaking up camp. And we're moving on. Now, I like hiking. I like road trips. The reason why is that not only do I know where I'm going, but I like to look at maps and just plot where are the sights and scenery I would like to stop, pause, and enjoy. That's a beautiful thing. And one of the aspects about hiking, especially about hiking mountains, is that you know you're going to the top. I could see these guys that say, man, we're going to hike Denali. You know what I mean? No way. But where there's a peak that is the tallest, and I've hiked a couple of peaks, and I've enjoyed the view. Matter of fact, where we lived in the Pass area, there are two great mountain peaks, San Gorgonio. It's 11,500 feet, and that's the second highest in the state of California next to Mount Whitney. And right across the Pass area is a place called Mount San Jacinto. It's about 10,800 feet. And I've hiked both of those mountain peaks with my sons-in-laws. You might know them. Pastor Mike Sander married our daughter Emily. They pastor Vision Foursquare Church here in Huntington Beach. And our other son-in-law, David Chandler, married our daughter Holly. By the way, David is going to be sworn in as a Huntington Beach police officer on Tuesday. Isn't that something? Yeah, I'm glad you were all nice to him. Aren't you glad? I'm glad I was, you know, yeah, you never know who becomes your boss, Floreses. We love you guys. And so that's important when we take a look at those things. But I wanted to show you an image you can see up on the screen. This is me at the top of Mount San Jacinto. Now, it's a small little image, but the panoramic view right at the top of Mount San Jacinto, I'm actually facing the little wood marker that says, that's it, you're at the top. But look how clear, if you can see the scenery. I was looking from the Coachella Valley out to the Salton Sea, all the way out to the pass area beyond Yucca Valley, San Bernardino, Hemet. I mean, it was an amazing view all the way around. Something about that. But one of the things that I enjoyed getting to the top was backpacking, camping, and realizing I can hardly wait for morning, because that's how it was. I can hardly wait to backpack to get to the top. We're going to break camp because we're moving on. We've got a destination. And today, that's what we're dealing with. Man, there's going to be one day we're going to break camp. You and I might say, hey, we're trenching in. This is all there is. But you know that's not the case. And where we land today, Peter's addressing, listen, we're moving on. And he starts to talk about that very, very clearly. So for you who would say, what is it like when the end of all things come? What is that going to look like? How does that happen? We're hitting it today. Let me pray. Father, thank you. Even as we read your word, Lord, may you not only have heard our praise and our prayers lifted heavenward, Lord, now please speak through the preaching of the word. Let us hear some things so necessary. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a look. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 18, we're seeing here together. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's take a look here, because Peter made three basic declarations about the future. And listed, number one, our campground is temporary. It's temporary. Look at verse 10. It's listed there. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Let's look at verse 12. Look for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. When we look at something like that, first of all, letter A, momentary preserved momentarily, it's interesting how we can continue to say, man, isn't it wonderful how everything continues on? And it does. It's wonderful. Matter of fact, Peter is addressing those that are saying there'll be no catastrophe. He actually addressed that in verse 5. Remember that in verse 6? We can look there just for a moment. We did a talk about that. Those false prophets say there'll be no destruction. It'll never happen. Verse 5, he says, "For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water." He was addressing, saying, hey, just in case there are those that are out there saying, man, everything's going to continue as it is. There'll be no calamity. Don't let this element scare you. He says, they forget. God created everything and he brought in the water, but also, don't forget, he also used water to destroy all life. Wow. Wow. You know, there'll be some of those that will even say, well, didn't God promise he'll never again destroy the planet? But when you read it, it's found in Genesis 9:11, where he says, I'll never, because of the bow in the air, destroy this planet by water. This time, we're seeing here, it's by fire. And everything will be burnt up. Letter B, eventually destroyed. So the instrument of destruction in the past was the flood. God's moving on, and everything's going to be melted and caught fire, burned up. Because when people come along here and say, well, when does this happen? Well, let me just let you know, when this takes place, what Peter is addressing here, literally at this point in history, the tribulation period has already happened. The second coming of Christ from heaven has already happened. The millennial rule and reign of Jesus for 1,000 years has already happened. Then everything gets torched. And then a new heaven and a new earth. Now let's take a look here for a moment, because it's worth noting here, if you're taking notes, and I'm sure you are, Isaiah 66:15-16. Isaiah 66:15 says, "The Lord will come with fire, judging all flesh. The slain of the Lord will be many." How about Micah chapter 1, verse 4? "The mountains will melt under him like wax before the fire of the Lord." We've sung something similar. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. There's also Malachi 4, verse 1. "The day is coming which will burning like an oven on the earth." Isn't it interesting when we start to look at these things? These are Old Testament prophets. That's why we're bringing this up, because Peter's bringing this up. Peter's not saying, man, I just had a bad burrito and it was very hot salsa. He said, I'm just saying something that the prophets have already spoke about. So don't forget, these things are going to come about. It was Jesus who literally said in Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away." He's very clear about that, and we recognize that. And Revelations 21, we'll take a look at that. What does that look like? So when people come along and they say, well, if God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth, why would he even spend his time with the 1,000 millennial rule and reign of Jesus? That's a great question. There's been times we've sat down and talked. There's a lot of reasons for it, but let me give you two reasons why. Why would God spend 1,000 years millennial rule and reign? Number one, he's going to remove the curse that he spoke over the planet back in Genesis. He's going to establish the order. God's all about redeeming. If you don't know that, if you think there's something broken, still wobbly in your life, he's going to redeem it. He's going to work on you till he redeems everything, right down to your physical body, called the resurrection. Bam. Everything's going to be restored. So you might say, well, it's not happening fast enough. I'm getting upset with God. Well, your timing's different than his, but I'm telling you, he's going to restore it all. Second thing about that, that God needs to fulfill all the promises he made to Israel. And he made some big promises to Israel. Part of that millennial rule and reign is a part of that. And he won't welch on a promise. And I'm going to tell you also something else. Be faithful to God. You will rule and reign in that 1,000 years. Now, heaven is a given, dear ones. Heaven's a given. Doesn't take anything to get saved. That dude on the cross on the day Jesus was crucified, he just said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." That was it. That's it. And Jesus says, "This day, I guarantee you're You'll be with me in paradise. But you don't want to just make it. You want to actually rule and reign with Jesus. Be faithful to him. Be faithful to him. If nobody else follows Jesus with you, you be faithful to him. Don't let what others appear to do or not do dictate how you should function and conduct your own life. Don't be disappointed. So that millennial kingdom on earth, it's going to be new. So eventually things will be destroyed. Well, what's holding everything together? Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 is really an answer, especially for scientists and nuclear physicists that just, they're boggled about, you know, that atom. There's a great book out, Dr. Lee Chestnut, The Atom Speaks, because he talks about how that the rapidly moving particulars of an atom, those charges that are similar, you know, if you put a battery or magnets together, kick off and shoot off, why don't they just split and scramble? What is it that kicks those neutrons and protons? Why don't they just kind of disperse? Well, Colossians chapter 1, 16 says, all things were created through him, Jesus. Things that are visible and things that are invisible, things that are in heaven and the things that are on earth. Verse 17 says, he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Jesus is holding everything together. He made you. There are molecular structures within you, your cells, those atoms. It's an amazing small system, and then a large, elaborate solar system and space. Man, the Lord is very involved in the details. But Jesus holds everything. And Colossians 1:17 says, and by him all things consist. And that word consist literally means tightly together. Oh, they cohere together. And Jesus is the one who is bringing that cosmos and holding it. There's a fine balance, is there not? We'd all have to say, man, what a fine balance of nature. How did God think that through? Well, he's the one. And one day he who's holding it all together is going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. Boom. So when we say, how does that fire all happen? You know, there was once floods all around. Well, everything, we're around a lot of hot stuff. One is the sun. That sun is one hot ball. We can tell it's going to be a nice, comfortable day when the sun's out there. Some of those stars are one big hot planet, especially when they start hitting our solar system. And how about the hot molten lava that is below us? They say there's about 10 miles of crust in the circumference of the earth that separates us from that lava. Man, it's just, we're just sitting around one big hot circular pattern. So when God just said, I'm going to take my hands off it, it could get quite hot. Even though they talk about global warming, man, isn't it interesting? So let's take a look at number two, or point number two. Our calling is timeless. In verse 13, it says, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So a new heaven, letter A, and a new earth, isn't it interesting? Because when we look at that, I like the promise of the prophets. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 22, says, I will make new heaven and a new earth, which will last forever, says the Lord. So here we're talking, Peter is addressing everything going, but there'll one day be a new heaven and a new earth. Remember when Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, 2, I am going away, and if I go away, I will come again to receive you, that where I am, there you may be also. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and that is the place, a new heaven and a new earth. So when we look here, when he talks about, I'm going to give you a new place, that newness is neos, but when we talk in the area of Revelation, matter of fact, let's go to Book of Revelation to the right, chapter 21. Love to see that there. Let's go to chapter 21, verse 1 through 5. Here in Revelations 21, the Greek word is kainos, which is a different sort of new, and it says a new, won't be like the millennium, which is the earth renewed. It's a new altogether and unexperienced before. It's not going to be anything we can compare it with, a new world, a new heaven, a new environment. So it's not going to be the same. That's the Greek word for new. But let's look here, because letter B in our outline, the new order and environment, starts to take a look at this. And once again, here in chapter 21 of Revelation, let me just emphasize, man, the tribulation period is past. The second coming of Jesus, that's all past. Man, you have the millennial rule and reign of 1,000 years, that too is past. Boom, everything's burnt up, it's gone. And now, here we have, what does it look like that will last forever? Verse 1, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Now, God's going to create everything out of nothing. Ex nihilo is the word for that. God's the only one that can create. He's going to wipe everything, it's gone. And he's starting over. Bam. Ex nihilo. I like that little joke about the scientist that just is upset with God and believes he doesn't exist and is laughing at God because we're able to make life. Ha ha ha. We don't need you, God. We now can create life and duplicate it. And then God comes and visits him. Oh, is that right? Well, let's have a little test. I'll go first, God says. And he picks up a little bit of dust and creates, and poof, these exotic birds take off. And he says, your turn, Mr. Scientist. Oh, I can do that. Picks up a little dust. And God says, wait a minute. You go get your own dust. Ex nihilo. How can anybody make something out of nothing? Everybody needs materials to make furnishings. But God can do that. Everything's going to be new. What happens to the old? It's gone. Even the seas. Now, I was troubled by that because I love the sea. It's so beautiful to see the sea. And I did some reading, and I like where I think I've landed. The sea really is a metaphor for groups of unbelieving nations that strive against God. And it makes sense because the Antichrist is going to be coming out of the sea, Revelation 13 and Revelation 17, 15. Those nations that say, we don't believe in you, we don't need you, and if you've ever read Revelations, when things start getting hot and rocks start coming down, people are still cussing God out. And the Antichrist comes out of that sea. So when we look here, important, Isaiah 17, 12 says, the roar of many people who roar like the roaring of the seas, the rumbling of nations rush on like the rumbling of the mighty waters. Talking about just people that don't want to do anything with God. So I kind of like that. And I think the removal of seas is a barrier to keep people away from each other. So I like the thought that there'll be no barriers allowing people to come. No more barriers that divide us from one another. But there will be a capital city. It's called the New Jerusalem. I like that. Verse 2 again in Revelations 21, then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Look at verse 10. Let's scoot on a little bit. Revelation 21. Can you see it? And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. Now, I like those. You know I do. And showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. Oh. We look here, the text seems to indicate that it will be an orbit of a new earth, a city is. And it's interesting because Henry Morris says that that city is going to be 1,500 miles cubits, slightly smaller than the moon. So that city itself, the holy city, it will be able to contain 20 billion people, and each of them will have 75 square miles of real estate. And there'll still be room. That will only take up 25%. So it's a big city, and it's a holy city. I had shared a little earlier. It's funny because some people are saying, Pastor Paul, we can't wait till you go back to the Holy Land. We can't wait to be there to see the holy city. I said, well, it's not holy now, believe me. It isn't. It really isn't. Jesus wept over it. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Remember that in Matthew 23, 37, you who kill the prophets. Well, it's not holy right now, but it will be. And I love it the way that Peter lays it out, because when we go back to our text, in the third chapter of 2 Peter, he talks about this in verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Friends, I know we're hoping that this election cycle will bring on some right order, but I'm telling you, there will come a time. Righteousness will prevail in a holy city. I wonder what that's like. Wow. Purity all the way. Amazing. And you will feel absolutely plushy, poofy, safe. It's going to be a great occasion and wonderful. Well, number three, as we take a look at these final points here, our compass is true. Peter is referring to the promises made in Scripture. We just finished there at verse 13. Once again, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look at his promise. He's referring again to the Old Testament prophets. God's promised he's coming back. We have these promises. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, promise made in the Bible, promises made in Scripture. These are not promises made in a comic book. These are promises that are on your lap, maybe in your Bible app. This is what the prophets have said. He's really referring. This is what Jesus has said. Then he kicks it into gear and he starts talking about what the Apostle Paul has written. Looking at verse 14 on follow, let's take a look here. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, was written or has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. So when we look at this, man, this provides a compass. I understand and I certainly grieve and I deal with a lot of young people and young couples and families, and wherever you're at with your marriage or maybe starting your family, isn't it great to keep Jesus in the center? It's wonderful. Whatever life holds before you, keep Jesus in the forefront. You'll never be disappointed. God knows the sequence of the events in history. Don't worry. We start breaking up ground and realize, man, we're moving on. That's the important thing. Letter A motivates our wills, because when we look here at verse 11 again, knowing the end result of everything, verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? That's helpful. That word manner literally means foreign or otherwise. What kind of person should you be? How should you conduct yourself? Well, naturally, I wouldn't want to be a materialistic person. We really should be a spiritual person, because, man, that's the direction we're all headed. Those are real things. Jesus holds the visible and the invisible together. Just keep Jesus the center. Man, he's holding your very heartbeat. Bom, 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 bom. And we're all just one air bubble away from seeing him face to face. So it's important when we take a look at that, what kind of person should we be? Not a person of this world, but a person that is of that world. Man. Man. And I love hanging around people with that mindset. It affects you. It adjusts you. You don't get so worried and stressed out. Recognize, man, we're just passing through here. How can I bring the kingdom down where I'm at? Letter B, it settles our hearts. Look at verse 14. Verse 14, therefore, beloved, again, therefore, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, look at that word peace. I like that. It looks very much like it's a contradictory kind of statement, but Peter's not eager to have mass destruction, and neither should we. There are some. I talk with a few Christians. I don't know where they're thinking. They're just, man, sick them, Jesus. You know what I mean? It's like, whoa. But he talks about we ought to be found by him in peace. That's a wonderful thing. Have peace regardless. If you're not walking in that peace of God that passes understanding, Philippians 4, 7, peace that surpasses our understanding, come and guard your heart and mind in Christ. Jesus so clearly in John 14, 27, John 16, 33, these things I've spoken unto you that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, he says, I've overcome. And in him you'll have peace. If the world doesn't give you peace, the world can't take it away. If you're going to find your peace in this world, no wonder why we get a little shaky, because things kind of evaporate. When we look here, it's important. Letter C, it stabilizes our minds finally. Verse 15 and 16 talks about that. Let's look at verse 17 and 18 as we wrap things up. And David, thank you for coming. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. See, knowing this keeps you from falling off the path. It was the great comfort of all Christians. Man, there's just never know when the trumpet sounds and the church is raptured, and then just things start hitting the fan. It helps us to be able to tell people there is a king and his kingdom's coming. Keeps us from falling into doctrinal instability or losing confidence. I don't think he's going to come. I don't think anything's going to happened. The entire created universe is going to just continue to exist. Well, the Bible says it's going to pass away. And so how should we live our life? In godliness and holiness and confidence and expectation and peacefulness and have a good life, really. Because just like breaking camp and moving on, I like to get to that peak. It's just part of the fun that I can enjoy everything that happens on that road map, because I know where I'm going. It's just, I'm going to go here. It's kind of like Christmas morning. Part of the fun is just kind of like, you know, I just love all the colors and the glitz, and it just, then when Christmas is done, it's like, oh, It's the same with you and me, and we're on a great journey. We know where we're going. And we are about to maybe break camp and move on. But don't let that trouble you. Keep dreaming big. I love what one person said. Live as if Jesus is coming tomorrow. But you also want to live as if he's not coming for a long time. You want to have that fine balance. Keep those things together. Boy, Peter really was helping his audience, wasn't he? I believe he's helped us. Building a forever faith. The Word of God puts it together. Helps us so much. Let's close our Bibles. Would you join me for a moment? I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you and we are so grateful you are our Heavenly Father. And Jesus, you have been more than a Savior to us. You even call us your friends as you reveal your will for our lives. You don't call us a servant, but you call us friends. Lord, we want to thank you. Saying about your deep love. I just pray over everyone who hears my voice, and even through our website, Lord, let them sense the love of God flow upon them right now. Say, my search has come and has ended. What I've been looking for is found in Jesus Christ. So as you just hear my prayer for you right now, and you're longing for the Lord and desirous to be a citizen of heaven, would you quietly just repeat this prayer after me? Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Savior and have died for me and rose to life for me. Dear Lord, forgive me, wash my sins away. I accept you into my life. As Lord and Savior, I choose right now to live for you forever. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Praise God. Well, friends, I'm going to want to invite those who are praying up front here. Would our prayer team come forward at this time? We want to do a couple of things. I'm going to dismiss you in just a moment, but I'm so glad that you've come. I hope that if you prayed that prayer to receive the Lord, please let these individuals up front know. I think it's very powerful to confess Christ. You can also see Ed at the Welcome Center. We'd love to give you a Bible, and now that you're a Christian, booklet. Do us all a favor. Let's make sure we make it to our 85th anniversary this Saturday. Would you purchase your ticket? We would love to know of your arrival with a very small contribution. We usually budget for everybody to come, but we just need to know that you're coming. I don't want you to miss a thing. This is a very historic week for Hope Chapel, your church, and for the city of Huntington Beach. And you know who makes the biggest impact? You do. You do. This city is for the people. Our Constitution is for the people, by the people, and for the people. And we're sure grateful that these love letters are from God for people. And thank you for believing in God's word today. Let me pray off a blessing. Father, we love you again. And just speak your grace and comfort over each person. And Lord, let that beautiful miracle presence of you come into our home, our study sessions, the marketplace. Give us great ideas how to gain wealth and increase in our love and appreciation for one another. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everybody. You're dismissed. Thanks for coming.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.